Okay, good evening to everyone. I am glad to see you on this March 19th, 2021 day that I have been preparing for and the presenters have been preparing for, getting ready for you who are joining us this evening. And this was a day ordained by God before the foundation of the world that we would meet together and talk about his son, his only begotten, beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so on behalf of myself, Velma Sanders, that's who I am, and the six presenters, the team of God's Word Alive Bible Teaching Ministry, we and I greet you in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Others will be joining us. I am going to ask, I can mute everyone, but make sure you mute yourselves. I am looking forward to, I have been looking forward and preparing for quite some time for today, for this evening. And not only myself, I have helpers that have been helping me, as well as the presenters. All of us have been preparing just for you. I am going to open in prayer, and then I will go on with some more remarks. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus on this day, and we say hallelujah, hallelujah to you as God. Glory and honor belong to you, and we bless your holy name. Hallelujah to your son, Jesus, our Savior. We can never say hallelujah enough. Hallelujah to the Spirit of God who leads us and guides us, directs us, and indwells us. Hallelujah to the Word of God. Hallelujah to the blood of the Lamb. And then, Lord God, we just want to say thank you. We can't say thank you enough for the purpose for which we come, to look at Jesus, to behold him, to ponder what all he did for us at Calvary, your great love. We ask you to bless this evening, Lord, in the name of Jesus. For those who will be joining us, we ask you to bring them safely. We ask you, Lord, to glorify your name. We pray your presence amongst us, Lord God. We pray that we would be together on one accord in the name of Jesus, beholding you and beholding the glories of your son and the glories of your love. We pray, we lift up this hour and a half to you, Lord. May you bless it and may you be pleased. We offer this prayer to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to start, and I might ask again if everyone would keep themselves on mute. And now the presenters may have a time where they may want you to unmute yourselves, depending on how God directs them, for a question, perhaps, or a comment, perhaps. So we'll see how the Lord leads. But for the most part, we're asking that everyone would please be on mute. Well, as I have said, I'm Sister Velma Jean Sanders. On behalf of myself, the God's Word Alive Bible Teaching Ministry team, and the presenters, we are glad that you are here for this first session of three sessions on the miracles, the six miracles of Calvary. Tonight, there will be two wonderful presenters that God has prepared and anointed. Next Friday night, there will be two more presenters that God has prepared and anointed. The following Friday, which is Good Friday, these sessions are coinciding where it will culminate on Good Friday. And on Good Friday, we have the last two speakers who God has called, prepared, and anointed to speak about a miracle. Six miracles of Calvary. And as I have said, tonight we will focus on two miracles. Now, I don't know how you heard about this evening. Some of you probably received a mailing from me. Others may have heard about tonight through word of mouth. Or perhaps you saw a flyer posted, or maybe you saw it in the Omaha Star. I don't know how, but I know God gathers the flock, and he has gathered us together. I do ask, this is a historical tonight, this occasion It's historical for myself and for God's Word of Life Bible teaching ministry. I do teach Sunday school on Zoom every Sunday for almost a year, but I am still a Zoom novice. So if there happens to be any Zoom hiccups, you know, we can't really practice hiccups. The most we can do is think ahead and try, but we don't really practice hiccups. We do the best we can and pray and trust God. But if there does happen to be a hiccup, and we pray there is not, I do ask you to just be patient. I'm learning and we're learning, but we're going to trust God to carry us all the way through successfully from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. Well, someone may be wondering, how did you come up with the six miracles of Calvary? And I would say, well, I didn't think it up. There was a book that I read with the same title, and I have that on the flyer, that the six miracles of Calvary is inspired by a book by the same title written by William Nicholson. And he passed. He's now in glory. But his work is living on, talking about Jesus. Well, each year, now I first purchased my book in 1991. So I just calculated that just this week. I've had this book in my possession for 30 years. And I have, and many books that I have, I've given away. Some books I've thrown away. Some I've, you know, passed on. But this book I have kept because to me, it was just so enlightening to me. And each season during the Lent season, preparing for Good Friday, first of all, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Calvary, the burial and the resurrection, I try to do something that causes me to concentrate even more on Calvary. Well, for this year, the Lord inspired me and impressed upon me, introduce the six miracles to others. And that gave birth to why we're here this evening, these six miracles. Well, you've probably seen, I heard about the six miracles. They're on the flyer that I sent to you. Six miracles. Miracle number one, the miraculous darkness. Number two, the rending of the veil. Miracle number three, the miraculous earthquake. Number four, the miracle of the open graves. Miracle number five, the undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus. And then the final miracle here, revivals to life in the Calvary graveyard. Those are the six miracles that we will be pausing, pondering, and reflecting on for the next three Fridays. Now, the word miracle, the six miracles of Calvary. Well, miracle, when you think about it. Now, I've been working with this, preparing for you for this evening, and so have the presenters. And we've seen this word miracle, 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 the six miracles. But let's think about it. Miracles. It is the six miracles of Calvary. Well, what is a miracle? You know, a miracle is something great. And if it's a true miracle, it's something that only God can do. Miracles are divine. Miracles are beyond human possibility. Miracles are something that only God can do, superseding natural laws. God can do anything. God is not limited by power. All power is His. God is not limited by space. He's everywhere. God's not limited by time, knowledge, money, or anything. God says Himself, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? And we say, no, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. And you know what? He answers that question Himself. He turns around and He says, is there any God other than me? No, not any. So we're going to talk about miracles, six miracles. And then not just, there's all kind of miracles in the Bible. Bible opens with a miracle. But this is the six miracles of Calvary. The six miracles of Calvary. Calvary. Now, we've all heard that word, Calvary. But when you think about it, Calvary, everyone, please make sure you're on mute. When you think about Calvary, and I can mute all too, but help me, Lord. When you think about Calvary, do you realize the name, the title, the name, the location? The name Calvary is only in the Bible one time. Just one time in the Bible. Now, we have so many versions today of the Bible that I have to be careful saying that. There's all kind of versions. But in the standard New King James, authorized King James version of the Bible, Calvary is only in the Bible one time. In the other Gospels, Calvary is translated as Golgotha, meaning the place of the skull. And tonight we're going to focus on the six miracles of Calvary. Our first presenter this evening is Sister Lily Holmes. We have two presenters this evening, Sister Lily Holmes, and she will be talking about miracle number one. And that first miracle is the miraculous darkness. Then our second presenter this evening, and it's on the agenda here. Let me go through the agenda quickly. The agenda, well, I'm introducing now, and then Sister Lily Holmes will talk about the miraculous darkness. Presenter number two, Superintendent Demetrius Watson, will talk about the rending of the veil, and then we will have our closing remarks and prayer. So now I'm going to introduce our first presenter for this evening. We want to allow her ample time. So our first presenter I'm presenting to some, introducing to some, and presenting to you all, Sister Lily Holmes. Well, she sent me a little bit about herself, and I'm going to read it to you. Sister Hall, if you could take down that share screen right now, and then Sister Holmes can prepare. Sister Lily Holmes, she'll be talking about miracle number one. Sister Holmes is a native of Winfield, Louisiana, and currently resides in Omaha, Nebraska. She and her late husband, Dwayne Holmes Sr., are the parents of four and the grandparents of eight. She is a member of Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. As a retired teacher, when Mrs. Holmes is not volunteering, she sometimes assists with the women's Sunday school class, where she served as a past teacher. She is on the faculty at the National Baptist Congress of Christian Education and is a facilitator teacher for the Sunday school seminars during the Sunday School Publishing Board's December conference. She served as the past state woman's auxiliary president for New Era Baptist State Convention of Nebraska. Lily is also a member and volunteer for the Assistance League of Omaha. She also frequently travels, including babysitting her 2-year-old grandson, who just moved back to Omaha. Sister Holmes loves serving others. So I present to you now Sister Lily Holmes, who will be presenting miracle number one, the miraculous darkness. Join me in welcoming Sister Holmes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Sister Sanders.
Thank you.
I thank you, and I thank God for this opportunity, and it is indeed a blessing.
Amen.
I surrender all. I surrender all. Decrease, Lily. Increase you, O Lord. Speak through me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Those of you who have your Bibles, get them. We will be utilizing our Bibles tonight. Don't have your Bible handy. Get pen and paper, because we will be writing down these scriptures, and we just want to be ready, ready, ready. Our first scripture comes from Luke 23:44-45, and Matthew 27:45. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened. And then Matthew 27:45 says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. The miracle of darkness. As Sister Velma shared with us a little bit about what a miracle is, when you think of the word miracle, what comes to your mind? Something unusual, amazing, extraordinary, supernatural, spectacular, but it's something not made by man. Man cannot do what God does. So out of all these fantastic things, these unusual events, these amazing things, remember, not by man, not by man, but God, only God. And then what do you think about when you hear the word darkness? Darkness. You know I'm from the South, so black, ugly, evil, sin, scary, hate, death, the devil. You know, we would hear bad things happen in darkness. And I could remember as a teenager and preteen, and some of you probably do too, that you would be in the den or in the basement watching television. And then you say you just want things a little bit cozy. And what would you do? You would switch those lights off. You would turn them out. And sometimes, you know, having a little party or get together, and you think you can turn those lights out. But immediately when you turn those lights out, there was a voice loud and clear from your mom or from your parents saying, what? You better turn those lights back on. And we immediately turned the lights back on. Miracle of darkness. As this saga opens, in our introduction, Jesus was almost dead. This seemed to be clear to everyone. He might live a few more minutes, but his tortured breathing testified to the rough job done by the Roman soldiers. They went forward according to plan. They started with two criminals and this man, Jesus. 9 o'clock came. Crucifixion time. Hammers and nails. Screams of pain. Death was in the air. Blood oozing and dripping. Sweat rolling off the bodies. people waving and shouting, King of the Jews, King of the Jews, come down from the cross. For 3 long hours, it was havoc. And similar to today, riots and screaming. Then high noon came. High noon came. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. From people shouting to total darkness. Silence. Silence. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. The miraculous darkness. One moment, the sun was overhead. The next moment, it disappeared. It was darkness that fell like a shroud over the land. It was darkness without any hint of light. Even the profane soldiers stopped their swearing and stopped their cussing. Not a sound broke the darkness that was going on. The darkness lasted for 3 long hours. 12:30, still dark. 1:15, still dark. 2:05, still dark. 2:55, still dark. 3 hours was like an eternity of darkness. At 3 o'clock, just as suddenly as the darkness descended, it disappeared. People had to adjust to the bright sunlight. There was panic on many faces, confusion on others. Some cried out, what is going on here? The darkness from 12 noon until 3 p.m. is sometimes passed over with little comment by some gospel writers and some commentaries, but it is rich in meaning, not only because of the significance of the cross, but because darkness itself, it is an important concept from Genesis 1 and 2. Write that down. Genesis 1 and 2 through Revelation 16 and 10. It's in the Bible. So let's capture those quickly. Genesis 1 and 2. Let's see what it says. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The earth was without form, okay, and void, and what? Darkness was on the face of the deep. And then all the way through the other chapters, then let's jump all the way to the end. Let's jump to Revelation 16 and 10. Revelation 16 and 10. And Revelation 16 and 10. Okay, here it is. Did you see? Well, I marked it. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. Then his kingdom became full of darkness. Now, let's look at the background, a little bit about the background of this miracle. Christ had been wrongly condemned and turned over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified between two thieves. He, of course, was the innocent one, the Lamb of God, taking the place of the guilty, taking the place of us. Christ was nailed to the cross at the third hour, 9 a.m. This was a time of contrast with a lot of activity taking place. There was the ridiculous iniquity and the activity of his malefactors who were parting his garments, remember that? Casting lots for his nice, seamless robe that looked like a coat. Watching, mocking, shaking their heads and yelling abusive language at the Lord as he hung on the cross for their sins, your sins, mine, and the sins of the whole world. These were also busy hours for our Lord and Savior. Hours of activity which stood out in striking contrast to those of his enemies. Though he was suffering to the extreme at the hands of men, his focus was on others rather than being on himself. Jesus is on the cross, and what is he doing? Thinking about us. Thinking about others. It was in these first 3 hours of light that he uttered his first three sayings. Number one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. He had come to die for their sins so that they, you and I, could be forgiven. Number two, personally caring for and listening to the cry of the dying thief and answering him with the assurance of salvation, salvation which he, Jesus, was about to purchase. To the thief, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's Luke 23:43. Number three, Jesus saying, he was recognizing the presence of his beloved mother and disciple and commending her to John's care. And that's John 19:25-27. In this saying, he was executing his last will and testament. Yet he was also thinking of you and me. He did not call her mother, but simply woman. His mother, but like anyone else, in her humanity, she had to believe in him for salvation. She had to believe in him for salvation. You do believe that Jesus saves, don't you? You do believe that Jesus saves, don't you? Well, I sure do. The darkness and the silence. It was now noon. The sun is high in the sky, and suddenly, total, dismal darkness falls over the land, accompanied by somber silence. Matthew 27:45 says, "Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour." Luke 23:44 and 45 says, it's put this way, "And it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sun being obscured." We are told that at the brightest time of day, darkness fell. Fell is the past tense of fall, meaning to happen, come to be, and this tense combined with this verb suggests the suddenness of this. The darkness was sudden, not gradual. It was just like someone had turned out the lights. Upon all the land, whether the darkness was over the entire daylight portion of the globe, we don't know. But we do know it was at least over the entire land of Jordan and Palestine. So could have been the earth or region of land or the country. Can you imagine the scene? What must have become the mood of the moment? There was no abusive language now. No wagging of heads, no more jeering, only horror, amazement, shock, fear, suspense, and the anxious whispering of the onlookers. Listen to the words of 1 Samuel 2:9-10. "He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevail. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven." Can you imagine the effect of this darkness in the midst of all the activity of spiritual darkness of this hour? And that's Mark 15:33. And Mark 15:33 says, "Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." Well, where did the darkness come from? An eclipse. This was the time of the Passover and the time of a full moon, according to the scientists. And you know we're hearing a lot about the scientists these days with the pandemic. An eclipse was impossible at this time. That was according to the scientists. An eclipse never occurs suddenly and only lasts for a few minutes, not 3 full hours. On number 2, maybe this was a natural phenomenon. Could it be a darkness like that associated with an earthquake, a volcanic eruption? Perhaps. But probably not. Again, this darkness covered the entire land and it came suddenly. Plus, there's no record of an earthquake prior to this, only after this recorded event. 3, a dust storm or a cloud over. What about a dark cloud over, which suddenly rolled in, or perhaps a very heavy dust storm? Again, this seems unlikely because of its suddenness. Number four, an act of Almighty God. The only proper answer is this event was a miraculous eclipse or a cosmic sign. The Almighty Creator, who placed the sun, the moon, the stars, and planet in their place, caused it. This was God directly intervening in nature. As a miracle, we do not understand. No, we don't understand lots of things, but we certainly don't understand miracles. We only have the evidence that it happened. We can have the evidence that it happened, but we don't understand. But above all, the darkness was a fitting symbolic act of God. Through our scripture, John uses darkness as a tool to express certain truth to sinful men. And I have four scriptures there, and I'll probably read Proverbs and Matthew. Genesis 15, 12 through 18 is one. And then here in the middle, Proverbs 4, and 19. Proverbs 4 and 19 says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. The way of the wicked is like darkness. And then jumping to the new Matthew 8 and 12. Matthew 8 and 12. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. It was darkness sent from heaven. Jesus bore the sins of the world. And that's Isaiah 53 and 4. It says, he was smitten of God and afflicted. But not any longer. Jesus dies with the knowledge that the debt has been fully paid. The cup emptied. The battle is won. The struggle is over. Whatever happened in those mysterious hours of darkness is now in the past. Whatever happened in those mysterious hours of darkness is now in the past. This Dr. Watts hymn describes what this first miracle means. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. I like that. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. Yes, there was darkness, miraculous darkness. One Friday, in the middle of the day, there was darkness, and he died. Oh, yes, my Jesus died. He died for the lost, and thanks be to God, he died for you and he died for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He died after darkness. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Very good.
Thank you, Sister Holmes. We are so glad for miracle number one. And I liked how you said whatever happened in the dark, it's now in the past. And I like to think about that darkness, a transaction between God and his son. And man didn't need to see everything going on. That was God and his son taking care of business. And God turned out the light. I thank you, Sister Holmes. Everyone, you can unmute yourselves for a minute if there's one question or two, and then we'll move on, or perhaps a comment.
I have a comment for okay. Dear sister. Yeah, it reminded me at the time of the Exodus. Remember when it was so dark at one place? It was only dark, but in Goshen, it was light. And in that you mentioned it was during the Passover. It was exciting because you think people might have been remembering that.
Yes. Yes.
That's in Exodus. Exodus 10:22.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes.
Amen. One more comment or question?
And then from that, just a beautiful job. What a blessing, Sister Holmes. But amen. From that, might we not, as believers, find joy in darkness? Ugh. Question.
Wow.
Might we not find joy in darkness?
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we thank God for Sister Holmes and for what the Lord shared to us through her. And now we're going on to miracle number two. You know, the miracles continue with God. He's a wonder working God, and he does miracles man knows nothing about. Our second miracle will be presented by Superintendent Demetrius Watson. And he will be presenting to us this second miracle, the rending of the veil. Now, each one of these six miracles that we'll be hearing about today and for the next two Fridays, for the most part, we have heard a little bit about some of them. There are a couple of these miracles that some have never heard anything about. But as far as the darkness, we've heard about that because, you know, preachers say all the time, the sun went down at night. And we hear that. And sometimes they say, and the moon was turned to blood. Well, that's not in the Bible, not at Calvary. But that sun did go down at noon. And then we hear about the rending of the veil. We've heard about that, but we need to ponder and pause and meditate. Tell me more about the rending of the veil. And Superintendent Demetrius Watson is going to do that. I will introduce to you, let me read a little bit about him. Superintendent Demetrius Watson is the pastor and founder of New Fellowship Christian Church Incorporated, Church of God in Christ, in Omaha, Nebraska. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 12 and has faithfully served God since that time. Under the tutelage of his pastor and father, he learned to be a churchman and how to love God's people. He functioned excellently in all areas of the ministry, including chairman over the deacon board, transportation driver, choir director, drummer, janitor, and a faithful church attendee. He has an outreach and a heart for outreach and for senior care. He is an able Sunday school teacher, prayer warrior, and a gospel preacher. No ministry areas are unimportant to him. Superintendent Watson is a pastor for all people. He has been happily married to evangelist Karen A. Watson for 25 years, and they have two children, Devin and Kelsey. He is a native of St. Louis, Missouri. And so I present and introduce to some, Superintendent and Pastor Demetrius Watson will be sharing with us the miracle number two, the rending of the veil. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Vama. We certainly appreciate you. Thank you for everyone that is online. We're just so excited. This is our high time, as they say. This is our high season as saints. Anytime we think about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I'm just going to share just a small portion of these great miracles. And so this is absolute, I was researching, is a great miracle. So I'm not going to belabor the time. I will not be before you very long until I get excited. So hopefully we won't get too excited. Okay. I promise. I can't promise that, but we'll see where we go from that. Because anytime I think about Jesus and what he has done, it's just amazing. So listen, my scripture, the scripture is Matthew, the 27th chapter and the 51st verse. And it says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split. So this evening, I want to speak to you about the miracle of the tearing of the curtain. Some of you might be wondering how in the world that this tearing of the curtain is a miracle. I would tell you that if you follow me just for these few minutes, that you will experience the same effect of the curtain miracle today, even as we're looking at and talking on Zoom, as you begin to look at what your Savior, what God the Father has done. It would change your life. So let's go first to the scripture. The scripture is Exodus, the 26th chapter, and the 31st through the 35th verse. And the reason why we need to go to these scriptures, the Old Testament provide really the origin and the clarification of this specific curtain and its significance. So the scripture read, and I'll be reading it on your screen as a Christian Standard Bible. It said, you are to make a curtain of blue, purple, scarlet, yarn, and finely spun linen with a design of cherubims worked into it. Hang it on four gold-plated pillars of acacia, and some versions say wood that have gold hooks and that stand on four silver brasses. Hang the curtain under the claps and the bring the ark of the testimony there behind the curtain, so that the curtain will make a separation for you between the holy place and the most holy place. Put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony and the most high holy place. Place the table outside the curtain and the lampshade in the south side of the tabernacle, the opposite of the table. Put the table on the north side. First, I must tell you that as you look at this screen, this is how the Old Testament temple looked. And there is some significance on how it was laid out. And I'm going to get to just a few of them. Physically, the high priest could go beyond what you say at the curtain that we are talking about. The curtain, right at this curtain here. And God told Moses the purpose of the temple, and we'll get to the curtain, but the purpose of the temple was to make a sanctuary that God would dwell in. God always wanted to dwell among his people. He always wanted to be in their lives and be a part of them and lead them and guide them. And this was the only way that God would be able to come into or come and be around sinful man, because he was holy. He cannot compromise his holiness. He could not compromise his righteousness. So here he said, build me a temple. And I'm going to dwell in that temple, and I'm going to provide protection from me, because if I see sin, I got to kill it. And so because of his goodness and his love toward us, he gave us a remedy. But this was not the only remedy, as we will see. So the tabernacle, the temple, had really three divisions. You had the outer court, which is the first court, and only the priests were allowed to enter into that court there. The priest was allowed to enter into the second court, but the outer court, Hebrew, if you were purebred Hebrew, if you were born with Jewish blood, you were able to go to the outer court, which is called the first court. And the only priest was allowed to go into this particular, what they call the second court, which is the holy place. But then when you go to the Holy of Holiness, there was only one person that could go to that, and that was the high priest. And you see on the right here, the corner there, the high priest had specific garments and specific things that he had to have on, just in order to get into to go before God. Don't you know, God, when you go before God, you cannot go before God any kind of way, because God is righteous. So let me back up a little bit. When you talk about that second court, where the priests, the regular priests that really were the caretakers of the temple, they were there to do the bidding. We would call them really kind of deacons in a way. But then the Holy of Holy, where the high priest can go, he can only go one time a year, once a year. And isn't that so precious that God would allow a man to come before him? But there had to be a cost to come before God. And so he would come. He could not come in his own garment. God gave him specific requirements in Leviticus, the 16th chapter, the 2nd through the 5th verse. That's Leviticus, the 16th chapter, the 2nd through the 5th verse. And I will be reading it in the New International Version. And I know you have your word, because Sister Lily had asked you to get your word. So this, the scripture says, "And the Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover." This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so that he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. For the Israelite community is to take two male goats to a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So now the high priest had to wear clothing before he could come into the Holy of Holy. He had to also tie a rope around his waist. If you notice, it is not in this picture, but he had to tie a rope around his waist. And I'll tell you a little bit about that rope. But down on the bottom, there was tassels and there was bells down there. And the reason why he had to wear the rope was because if he had offended God before he came to him and he went inside the Holy of Holy, God would strike him dead. Then the people, the priests that were in the second court, they would pull him out because they could not go before a holy God. And so God was so meticulous on how he was able to, men can come before him. And then on the bottom of the garment that he wore was bells. Anytime the priests would hear those bells, the bells had to be moving. Why? Because if they don't hear the bells, that means that the high priest was struck down and they had to pull him out. So if the bells wasn't ringing, they would pull him out. But thanks be to God that God made this plan that they were able to work and function. And so as no one could go behind there, they will pull them out. So now sin is a terrible thing. God wasn't playing with sin. But God said that the soul that sinned, he shall die. He meant that. So he had to provide a way because God so loved the world. God gave us everything. God so loved us that he decided, I am going to provide a ram in a bush. I am going to provide a way that man can come back to me. I'm going to provide. I did not provide for the angels. The Bible even said in Psalms that what is man that thou so unmindful of him, or what is the son of man that thou visit him? And so he wanted to provide a way. So when we look at the temple, each thing had a specific purpose in the temple. And I'm not going to go in specifically, and time won't permit to go into each and every portion of it. And it's beautiful if you read it, if you go to the Exodus chapter 25 and through the 38th chapter, it would explain the purpose of all of the things or all of the equipment that was there. Because God, when you worship God, he requires you to worship him according to how he would like to be worshiped. And so when we go to when the high priest could, when he had to sacrifice, before he can even enter into the curtain, the big curtain here. And the Bible says that he could not go but one time a year. Hebrews 9:22 says that almost all things are by law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So he had to go once a year. He would take a blood sacrifice behind our curtain. He would take a blood sacrifice where this curtain was so heavy. The curtain had, they said, if you look at tradition, you look at Bible scholars said it took 30 men to hang this curtain. It wasn't an ordinary curtain. It wasn't a curtain that you can hang up in your house. It wasn't a curtain at different facilities, but it was a special made curtain that God himself had to give skilled laborers and skilled people to woven it, to make it, because why? God is holy. He wanted to make sure that everything was detailed. So he was then, the priest was allowed to go to enter into the Holy of Holy once a year. He would take that same blood that he had sacrificed out here. He would take the same blood of the bull. He would take him. He would go behind the curtain. Behind the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. The atonement mercy seat, the mercy seat right before he would go, past the ark, but he would go to the mercy seat and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. So when God would see the blood, he had sprinkled the statue of the cherubim right there. And the most important, once he sprinkled the blood, he was then able, God would accept that sacrifice, and he was able to go before a holy presence, because inside that holiness of holiness was the presence of a living God. It was amazing that God was able to be inside a building, because God is great. The earth is his footstool. God is so powerful. His presence is so, my God, it's a wonder. It's amazing that God told Moses, he said, Moses said, God, I want to see your presence. So God said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide you behind a cliff. Then I'm going to hide you around. I have to put my hand around you because my glory is so great. And God, he presented himself in this building. Put himself in this building. And so here is how. And God said all of this, what it encompassed. Why were these things there? Well, they were symbols of the throne of God, presence, power, and grace. Colossians 2:17 said, which are a shadow of things to come. This was just a shadow. It was a shadow of things to come. Now, as we begin to see that the curtain has been torn, and then it was torn after the darkness left. He'll make the darkness light. After the darkness left, the curtain was torn. The scripture, as we said at the moment the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The rendering of the veil in front of the entry of the holiness of holiness was a symbolic sign of a new way into God's presence, which we have never been open to man before. When we look at the book of Hebrew, the 10th chapter and the 19th verse, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh so the curtain split into two equal parts, piecing simultaneously. When Jesus cried for the last time after the darkness, my God, this was not a cry of agony. The first cry he cried after the darkness was before the darkness was the agony. But this time, after the darkness, after the light came, it was a cry for victory. Oh, it was a cry for victory that it is finished. I have laid the foundation of salvation. I have finished my work. It was a cry that is all done. I'm done with it now. God has accepted the offering. Why? Because he tore the curtain apart. In other words, this was the last sacrifice for man. Jesus' blood was sprinkled onto the mercy seat as the atonement for the sins of the people. Somebody ought to say glory. Oh, I feel my preaching voice, but I won't get to that. So not only for the Jews, not only for them, that was Moses and them, praise Brim, that came out the great boat, it was for us. It was for the Gentiles. It is for them who dare trust in this way. For every human being that was born and was born on this earth, we have a remedy. So when we look at Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the 14th verse through the 16th verse, I'm going to read it in NIV version. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended unto heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. If we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, with our loneliness, with our brokenness, but we have one that have been tempered in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. He did not say a mumbling word. He went through it because he was thinking about you. He was thinking about you in 2021. At this moment, it says, now that that has happened, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Somebody ought to say glory. We have access to God. Because the curtain was torn. The curtain. God was saying that through this sacrifice, you can come near to me. Every individual can come. No need for the priest. No need for the high priest. He tore down the middle wall of partition. This is the act that put the priest and the high priest out of a job. This miracle of torn curtain means that we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. The holy hands of God simply ripped it apart. There's no way the Bible says that it can be ripped. It ripped from the top to the bottom. There's no longer, we don't need to now We have help to fight our battle in life. Ephesians says, praise to his glorious grace, which he had freely given us. One, he loved. We are now in the beloved. The curtain was torn. Now that you have access, the miracle was that now you have access directly to God right now. John said, 1 John, the third chapter and the second verse said, beloved, now are we the sons and the daughters of God. It do not yet appear what we shall be, but the Bible says that we shall know him. We shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The miracle of the torn curtain is access. You ought to look at the screen and say, I got access to God. You got access to he, and not only do you have access to him, he has access to you. The Bible said in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. That means that he couldn't draw near to you. Now he has access to you right now. The miracle of the torn curtain. Today, that miracle speaks today. The torn curtain said, I got access. We in Omaha, we always, when you're in business, you always want access. You want to know, well, who can I get access to do certain things? But you got access. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and he that dwelleth. You have access to the power of God. You have access to the very throne room of God. Jesus, after he did it all, he sat on the right hand of God. And now he's our mediator. He said, God, yeah, touch him, God. He told the Holy Ghost, said, listen, I need to, they're praying. The prayers are going up. And Jesus telling God, deal with it. Touch him, Lord. They mind. Look at my hands. Look at the hands. Look at the stripes. They did it. I died. I paid for that. So he paid for your access. Now that he has paid for your access, what are you going to do about it? The curtain has been torn. You don't need anyone else to come and get you access. God said, I freely give you access. You can call on him right now. If you access faith through Jesus Christ, I don't care what title you are. I don't care what you are. God said, you have access right now. That's the powerfulness of that torn. He said, I'm finished with it. It's complete. I have access to you now. I have access to you right now. That is the miracle of the curtain. I am done. I got a few more minutes. I am done.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for access. And I went to that throne this morning of grace because Jesus paid the price for sin. Praise the Lord. Thank you for access, Lord. Thank you for rending the veil. Would anyone like to make comments? We have some minutes here. Comments or questions for Pastor Watson, Superintendent Watson?
Yeah, this is Doris Mitchell. Pastor Watson, you did a wonderful, marvelous job. It took me way back to the Old Testament when you were reading the pattern of the curtain. What it says in Exodus 26, verse 1, that the cherubims, these angels, were a pattern on the curtain. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to when Adam and Eve sinned and they were barred from the garden. And the Bible said that the cherubims with flaming swords barred the way, you know, of the entrance. And someone had put in the chat that, you know, already, you know, the relationship was broken between God and man. Yes. And when the veil or the curtain was torn, you know, these cherubims, all, you know, what God is saying is that there's no more separation between man and God.
Yeah.
And it was that now we have a direct access to the throne of God. And that, you know, that just, you know, is such a wonderful thing that God has given us, that we can go directly through him and right to the mercy seat.
Yes.
And that, you know, that kind of brought me back to those angels you're talking about, those cherubims. That was a very, very wonderful pastor, very wonderful servant.
Yes. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Thank you, Sister Mitchell.
I just wanted to make a comment too, Sister Vilma, for Brother Demetrius. You did such a beautiful job about the priest in the temple. It reminded me of Luke 1 when, you know, Zechariah, and he was in the temple and he didn't believe the angel, and then he was struck silent. And you did such a beautiful job because everybody wondered where he was, you know, and it was just such a beautiful description. It's so true how we must believe when God is speaking to us. Thank you so much.
Yes, amen. Anyone else for Superintendent Watson, or a question or comment for Sister Holmes? Or maybe you want to say a word about a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
I know everyone said, I'm a walking miracle, and I am.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Well, as Sister Holmes was saying about the darkness, the blackness, you know, it wasn't anything of science. And as Superintendent said a minute ago, the curtain, how heavy it really was, it's nothing that, so it had to be a miracle, And so, yeah, I can think of all my life and miracle that the Lord has provided for me. And I know nobody could have done it but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Yeah, nobody.
Amen.
Nobody.
There's one other thing regarding the curtain. The Bible said that it was wrenched from the top to the bottom. So it couldn't be man, couldn't just walk up there and just take the curtain from the hem and rip it up. It had to be God. That, you know, when after Christ died on the cross, and that curtain went from top to bottom during the evening sacrifice, during that time, which meant, you know, there is no more need for animal sacrifice.
Right.
No more need for it. God says, zoop. You know, you come directly to the mercy seat.
Amen.
I would just like to share to my fellow presenters on tonight, I just give God the glory.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in an old-fashioned revival. Anybody know anything about those old-fashioned revivals?
Amen.
I tell you, Sister Holmes and Brother Demetrius, I tell you, bless God for using you on tonight.
Amen.
To just help us break open these miracles. So I just thank you. I'm glad to be in the presence this evening with everyone. And God bless you. Sister Velma, thank you again and again and again for providing this opportunity to learn and just break bread together.
Break bread together. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I know what I was thinking. The way they laid it out. I mean, that is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And things that we didn't know because there was so much detail to both of them, with both of them. I just am so glad that I have an opportunity to be here, and I want to thank Sister Velma for just picking two people who just know how to teach. And as a former or retired principal, I mean, when there's a teacher and they teach like these two.
Yeah.
I just want to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And you know, I was thinking the darkness was so dark. I mean, it's a darkness we don't know nothing about, you know, and we don't know what total darkness is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when God turned the light off, I mean, that was darkness, and you think the darkness was so dark. And then Pastor Watson, you mentioned that veil was so heavy and so thick. And I had never heard that it took 30 men. How did you say that? 30 men to carry it, or 30 men to hang it? Or it was heavy. It was a heavy, thick curtain, and it was a dark, darker than black. And that just says how thick and how dark and how heavy and how weighty. And no wonder Jesus, when he looked into that cup, but we're so glad that he drunk the cup to the dregs so that the veil could be rent. and so that the light could come back on, and so that he could say, it is finished. Oh, yes, I'm really glad. I'm happy about it. And I thank God for access. You know, I don't have access. I just can't walk up into any of y'all's houses tonight. I don't have access. And you know what? You just can't walk up in mine either. But we can all go to God. I mean, we all have access, provided you come the right way through Jesus. And I just thank God, and we can go to him anytime, any day, any night. And you know, when even when you do open up your door for another, well, there comes a time when the other gotta leave. But with God, we shall forever be with him, where there is no night there in heaven, and there are no veils. So I just want to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Are there any other comments?
Yes.
Sister, go ahead.
Sister Vim, I'm just so appreciative to all of the faces and friends that I see out there tonight. I want to thank God for Pastor Watson just sharing with us. And then I was looking around and, hey, I'm from the South. I saw Okmulgee, Oklahoma. I saw Crown Point, Indiana. So,
man,
I'm pretty happy. Thank you. Thank you for sharing and being with us tonight. We appreciate all of you. New Era, yes. I see you.
Praise the Lord. Yes. And we have others from all over.
All over.
And maybe even overseas may be with us as well. So,
right.
You know, we all got to come through Jesus, though, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Sister Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Sister Sanders, I just want to first of all say we praise God from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Just want to say to Sister Holmes, that was an awesome job. And I know that you have put some preparation in your presentation. But I know that you had some help because the light and the darkness kept happening. I know you have a support crew there. Those people behind the scene did an awesome job for you. Your presentation was just awesome. We really gleaned from you. And Dr. Watson, we just want to say to you, sir, it is very hard for us to adjust to this thing called Zoom. But I want you to know that you preach from your seat. And you started off like a locomotive, low and slow, but then you picked up steam, and before long, I thought you were going to jump up when you got to that access. But I appreciate that because that was a powerful look, and we thank you for your presentation tonight.
Praise God. Amen.
I want to make a comment about Sister Holmes. Sister Holmes, I certainly thank God for you. I'm going to put that dramatic in my church when I preach on the resurrection. I'm going to have somebody by the lights. Turn them off when I preach about the resurrection. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
So praise the Lord.
Really was great.
I would just like to thank God. I'm Brenda Lewis for both the presenters tonight. I think both of you did an excellent job. My eyes were open. Sometimes I'm still in the learning process. I'm still growing. And thank God for his grace and his mercy. But I would just like to say to tie the Old Testament and the New Testament, yeah, that is just a blessing because it gives us revelation of what we may not know, or some of us may not know it. I'm speaking for myself, that happened in the Old Testament, that my eyes have been open. I thank both of you for your presentation. That was just awesome. And that we now have, we have access to God through his grace. And I thank God for that. So I just thank both of you. You both did a wonderful, awesome job. And I'm looking forward to the rest of them,
praise
the rest of the
Lord.
Presentation. So thank God for both of you. You did
a good
job.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And Sister Holmes, Sister Holmes, I just want to say, too, that you gave such a clear description of darkness. Yes. And, you know, as we pray for the lost, and I believe it's in John somewhere, it says that people love the darkness more than the light. Mm-hmm. You imagine loving darkness. And so it grieves us, you know, and we see people in the dark, and you want to bring everyone to that light, and that we have been privilege to be in the light. I mean, I go out in the sun and I think, oh, praise God for his light, not just the sun, but, you know, but you did such a descriptive job putting us right in there. And I just want to thank you and to remember to pray for the Jews so they know that there's only one sacrifice. It's already made.
Amen.
I thank God that you helped me to realize tonight that there will be some darkness, but I thank God for the light.
Amen.
Pastor Watson, I can't help thinking, can't stop thinking about what you said. Now that he has paid the price, what are we going to do about it? I keep thinking about that. If Sister Sanders was to buy me a ticket to go see a movie, she done paid for the ticket, gave it to me. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to enjoy the movie. I'm going to think about the movie so I can tell others about the movie later. I just thank God for your presentation. Thank you. So what are we going to do about it?
And I guess our movie is Zoom tonight, huh? We're going to tell others about it.
Yes.
Amen. Our other presenters are here on Zoom with us tonight. Praise the Lord. That will be speaking either next week or the following Friday. Minister Jacqueline Reed from Dallas, Texas is with us. Reverend Dr. Vaughn from Mayhew, Mississippi. Minister Boeing from here in Omaha, Nebraska. Minister in Training Boeing from here in Omaha, Nebraska. And also Overseer Charles Maxey from Wichita, Kansas are all with us this evening. Well, it's 10 till 8. Now, I don't believe in prolonging the time, but I don't want to close too early. This is to last until 8, but if there's no further comments, you know, I don't believe in prolonging the time either. Final call for any closing comments or questions other than my closing comments.
Yes, Sister Velma, I just want to thank you too. You always do an awesome job. Thanks for putting this Zoom together. If it was you that put it together or whoever, everyone else that helped you with it, I just thank God for this. This was awesome. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Well, we had to practice. And God is faithful. Thank you so much. To God be the glory. Yeah. Well, as we close on this evening, I just like to, first of all, say yes, to God be the glory. You know, you just never know about technology. Anything that man does can break. We know that. Anything man made can go off track. If it was up to man, it gets stuck on snow. What would we do? If it was up to man, it gets stuck on rain. What would we do? If it was left up to man, it'd be stuck on 100 degrees. What would we do? And so we thank God that he controls things. And we thank him for his mercy. Yes, he sends snow, but the same God melts the snow. Yes, he sends rain, but the same God causes the sun to shine. What a wonderful God we serve. And so I say all that to say I thank God for Zoom. You know, nowadays I'm saying, and God said, let there be Zoom. Because God knew some thousands of years later, we would need Zoom. And it was God who said, let there be Zoom. And so we thank God for keeping it working. We thank God that the slide presentations, the PowerPoints went well, the sound went well. I just really thank God. You all don't know how I really thank him. Thank you to each of the presenters tonight. God bless you, bless you, bless you. And both Sister Holmes and Pastor Watson were willing servants. I didn't have to twist their arms or anything because I had prayed, Lord, who do you want to speak? Who have you called to be a presenter? And so thanks be to Sister Holmes and to Pastor Watson for being a vessel sanctified and fit for the master's use. And then I also want to thank each one of you for Zooming in this evening so you could hear a word from the Lord through a couple of God's servants. Thank you as well for the supporters of God's Word Alive Bible Ministry. And I want to say publicly, this ministry is not supported by any church. It is not affiliated with any church. But I, Sister Velma, am in good standing with a local church. But this God's Word Alive ministry is supported by the grace of God and your support, financial and prayers. So for any support that you have offered, I want to say thank you. God bless you as only he can. And then thanks to the team of God's Word Alive, and also Sister Marcia Hall and I were going back and forth today trying to work out things. So special thanks to her as well. And so God bless each and every one of you. And I would like to just announce, if you can, tune in next week for miracle number three. Miracle. It's a miracle. Miracle number three, the miraculous earthquake, presented by Minister Jacqueline Reed. And miracle number four, it's a miracle, the miracle of the open graves. Now, that's one of those miracles you really don't hear too much about, that the graves open. We want to hear about that. And so that will be presented by Reverend Dr. Don Vaughn. So I encourage you to tell others, invite others to join in as the Lord leads next Friday night at 6:30. Continue to share, because everybody needs to hear about Jesus, saint and sinner. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to, if there's no final words or comments, turn it over to Pastor Demetrius Watson and ask if he would close us out in prayer. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank all of you. Praise the Lord for your looking at, listening, and staying with us. And so we go to God with our heads bowed. Father, we want to thank you again for your mercy. Thank you for the blood. Father, thank you. Thank you for how you have delivered us and set us free, God. Thank you for applying the blood in our life. We can go to you directly. Yes. God, if there's someone on this call today, someone on this Zoom that don't know you and the pardon of their sins, we actually touch them right now. Touch their hearts. Touch their minds. Let the word be deep, buried deep into their soul, that they may come and experience the beauty of you and the love that you have for them. Father, continue to bless the speakers, even all on this week. Yes. Thank you for you blessing each and every one of us. Continue to strengthen this ministry. Continue to strengthen all the ministries that are listening, Father, that are all the here. Ministry. Every last preacher, yes. Pastor, lady.
Yes,
everyone that's holding everyone. Up the blessing, God. Yes. Oh, God, we yes. want to ask you to touch and deliver. God, do it. Give them the needs, whatever needs they have, whatever the financial yes. needs they have, they need. God, we pray that you give it to them, Lord.
Yes, Father.
That your will may be done. And that we may lift up the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank Lord. You now, God. Thank we give you glory. We ask that you bless the people even tonight, God. Let everyone that's on this call have a restful sleep. Yes. Touch them. The Bible says you give your beloved sleep. We ask you to bless them now. Let them have a good night's sleep. And they may get up in the morning and do your work. God, we thank you. We give you glory. Amen. We give you honor. Let the saints say amen.
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 Bless you, Sister Hall.
God bless you.
All right.
Bless you, Sanders.
Thank you, Overseer Maxie. God bless everyone. God's beautiful people. Amen. Amen. God bless everybody.
Bless you.
Love you all. Pray for me. I'll be praying for you. Okay.
Good night,
y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye.